You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to part two of the Best of Distant Part 6. This is a fun pull together of some of our favourite bits from the past year. This one contains the former Wales and Lions rugby captain Sam Warburton, who was our very, very first ever guest on our guest episodes. We decided to come in swinging on the guest episodes, and Sam does not disappoint. Loads of people got in touch when he came on, actually, just to go, Sam Warburton swears. And that's not, you know, why we put the clip in there. But having Sam in a normal environment that kind of I've seen him in real life was quite fun. Actually, sort of seeing the real side of Sam without 100% of the TV polish that you kind of see now. He's brilliant at that stuff. But just chatting to him about things in a real way was a lot of fun. There's some live clips in this one. There's a great bit from the Cheerful Earful podcast festival that we did down in London. That was loads of fun. Really enjoyed that gig. And there's some good content from that one. Gordon Smart did a live gig with us in London early last year. And that is in this episode as well. What I would say is that some of you are going, Steph, mate, Steph, you haven't included the best bits of the socially distant sports bar from the past 12 months, in my humble opinion. Tell you what, send us your humble opinions to @distantpod on all of our social medias, partly because there'll be a bit of conversation going on there, and that's always quite fun as well, but also because then me and Adam, who edits the podcast, can go to the bits that you suggest, and we can use them for pint-sized episodes. So if there's a favourite bit that we have missed out, if you don't think this is the best of Distant Pod, part six, then let us know. That's fine. You're allowed to have your input. You can't change what you're about to listen to. It's not a time machine. Can't go back and re-edit it. Technically, we can. But I'm not going to go back and re-edit it. But, you know, you can have some kind of input, and your favourite bit could appear as a pint-size episode in the future. Please enjoy this. This is part two of the Best of Distant Pod 6. Sam, give us a different sport. Which one do you want to go for? Do you want to go football or do you want to go boxing first?
Let's go boxing. Yeah, a little bit different. I'm actually quite a big boxing fan. So I say big boxing fan. I love the sort of the high profile kind of fights. I wouldn't just go watching it randomly, but I did sort of grow up watching. Do you remember like on Sky Sports, they do like Friday night fight night going back like years ago, and I just sit there on a Friday night and watch all these random boxing fights. But back when I was growing up, Lennox Lewis was unbelievable, and he was obviously the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. So my clip is Lennox Lewis back in the early noughties when he had his rematch against Mike Tyson, and he had a spectacular KO. So that's my clip.
We're underway. Lennox Lewis and Mike Tyson for the heavyweight championship of the world.
those right hands. Lewis keeps that up. That fight is gone.
You understand? Not many people can do that. You understand?
Had a knockout. Passed the seventh round. Bullets Lewis. Triple Mike Tyson. Lewis unloaded. Lewis trying to finish.
And highly motivated to come into this fight, hoping that this fight would
not hard. Yeah, you can't take that from him.
Big right hand from Lewis. Lennox Lewis cements it.
I love that clip because I remember the press conferences before. Do you remember, like, Mike Tyson was saying, like, did he not say I'll kill your daughter, but he was like, I'll eat your daughter, or something really hard, really venomous, you know, to Lennox. And I love Lennox Lewis because he was just so classy. And whoever came along, he just cleaned up and he was just really classy. And I loved it. I remember staying up really late fighting to keep my eyes open. My dad was like, Sam, you got to stay up. And Lennox Lewis was like, because he was undisputed champion as well. And I'd always have a meal. I reckon for about 6 months, I'd have a meal. And I always wanted to be like 6'5", 18 stone. Like, and I'd be like, Dad, would Lennox eat this? He'd go, yeah. Lennox would eat this.
Lennox,
I'd be
there slamming the meat.
Yeah. He loves a pop tank.
So yeah, he was like a massive inspiration for me. So I love Lennox. So it's an Englishman, sorry. But I remember that clip. I loved it.
The press conference for this one was the one where there's a whole crowd of them and Lennox has just stood there and Mike just goes for him. So, I mean, got that trigger anyway. But he just goes and he wrestles him to the ground. I think he bit his leg. I'm pretty sure that Lennox sued him then because he bit his leg.
Yeah.
So it's like, can imagine like just overflowing like that months before the fight.
I don't think he gets the credit he deserves, Lennox Lewis, actually. He's been such a fantastic boxer.
I was going to say the same thing. I was going to say, because he was such a gentleman outside of the ring, and because he was so sort of implacable in those situations, and because he maybe wore his hair a bit differently and spoke a bit differently from a lot of the boxers, he never gets the credit. He's one of the top heavyweights of all time, Lennox Lewis.
Oh, yeah, his jab is ridiculous.
Yeah.
My God, imagine trying to get past
and
the jab.
And he outboxes Tyson, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Completely gives him a lesson.
Yeah, that's what I mean, being classy. If you actually, like, for any youngsters listening maybe just before their time, just like YouTube Lennox Lewis KOs, and you watch it and you go, shit. Like, this guy was, and he was skilled. Like, it wasn't just like
and big
brute force, big and skilled.
He's 6'5" and skilled.
Yeah, exactly. So he was a dangerous man to fight against,
And also in the changing rooms, he'd be like the complete different than you'd, maybe you would expect from him. He would just be lying there.
Yeah.
Just lying down because I'm not fighting, I'm not fighting. He'd come out to reggae most of the time as well as his ring warp music.
Yeah.
And then once he was in there, as soon as Buffer said his name, that's when he would change.
Yeah.
And that ability is, I feel, in any sports person, that ability to change. You watch his ring craft in this.
Yeah.
Easy to peak you. Yeah. Lennox Lewis as well.
And he knew when to stop. That's what I liked about it as well. Like, he stopped when he stopped. Would have got called out about a million times.
He had nothing
times.
To prove.
Yeah, that's what
exactly.
I mean.
People, you know, why didn't you fight this person? Why didn't you fight this person? Why didn't you come out? You're running scared. He's like, I've been undisputed world heavyweight champion.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got nothing to prove to you, idiots.
Exactly. I admired that. That's what I remember thinking that when I retired. I was like, I'd rather finish like with someone like Lennox. And I've seen boys who keep holding the tackle shield for another 3 years as a third choice. Like, smell the coffee, go. Like, don't want to tarnish, you know.
It takes balls, though, Sam.
Yeah.
That takes balls, mate, because, you know, you've never grown up in the amateur era as an adult. So, for you, rugby was your way of life. It's what you know. It's what you're brilliant at. It's what you do. To sort of define you to a certain extent with people who don't know you. To turn your back on that is massive. It must be so hard to say, I'm going to do something else in my life.
Then, like, that's where, like, that inspiration for Lennox Lewis would come in. Like, you know, that's why it's not just the KO in that. But, like, you know, you see how he carried himself in retirement and how he finished. And you think, that's how it should be done, you know?
Yeah.
So. Mm. At what point did you start to feel old as a rugby player?
I never felt old as a, like, because I was only played till I was 28, but my body.
Yeah, you
body,
left before that, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I announced it when I was 29, but and my last game I played was 28. But I remember, like, going down at the end of that Lions tour to, after every game, the morning after, you all check in to see the physios. So, right, forwards in at 9 o'clock, backs in at 9:30, because a lot of injuries express themselves overnight. You might just wake up with a massive swollen knee, like, oh shit, my knee, you know? So you have to check in the day after. So I remember checking in the day after, and that game, I remember I had 8 individual strap-ins, elbow, hip flexor, both shoulders, both ankles. I was hanging on by a thread. I only just managed to play that Lions tour.
So how old are you now?
28. This is my last game that right, I played, okay. or just after the last game I played. I remember going down to the physio the day after, and I was like, and he was obviously checking out all my body and stuff. And lucky it was the end of the season, so he was just giving me like a medical to send back to the club so they knew what condition I was in going back for my pre-season in 4 or 5 weeks' time. I remember he said to me, like, he was a well-spoken guy. He said, I think the clinical term for you, Sam, is you're clinically fucked. Like, that's what he was like, because I had everything. I ended up having a knee operation and a shoulder operation from that. But I had my 5 weeks off. And I remember speaking to my agent on like the third, fourth week. I went, and this was the first time to your question, Ellis, I was like, I was chomping at the bit then after 3 weeks off in off season. It was the first time I had 3-4 weeks off, and I said to my agent, I was like, mate, I'm still fucked here, mate. I need more time. I said, I need to speak to Gats or the WIU and just say, I need another month off. And I was never that sort of person. I was always like desperate to get back. And I was like, I need more time. And then I said, I don't care if I don't get paid. I just need the rest. And my agent said, spoken to the WIU, they'll give you more time and they'll get whatever you need operated on. So I thought, brilliant. But I had the operations, and like 4 or 5 months had gone by, and this is at the point I probably would have met you then, Mike, you know? Yeah, and then yeah. I was like, I still don't feel right, and the body just gone through so much. And I was like, yeah, nah, I can't. This is what I thought. I said to Gatlin, I was like, I don't want this to sound like a spoilt kid, but I said, if I can't be number one, I don't want to play. And I'm not sure if I'm able to get back to number one.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't want to play against someone, like a, say in England, like a Tom Curry or someone, or a Sam Underhill. They play against me. And at this point, you'd be like a double lion kind of thing and go, oh, fuck, Sam ain't as good as I thought he was. You know, because I've played against older players and I've thought, I've done him. He wasn't as good as I thought he was, but I didn't play against him when he was in his mid-20s. You know, so I thought, I never want someone to think that about me. So that's when I just thought, nah, just get out of it, you know? So, yeah.
That's fascinating, mate, that is.
Was there a point, though, like when you were, I don't know, to all intents and purposes, a young man? Obviously, you were at 28, but certainly, say, when you were 23 or 24, when already by that point, were there injuries making things a little bit more difficult? Was it, and behind the scenes, was it more difficult than the supporters thought from watching you on the pitch?
I had 3.5 years injured, and I played professional for 9 years, and I still somehow managed to play 200 professional games in that. So when I played, I crammed it in. And fortunately, which just worked out well, I was fit for every single Six Nations. So I played about 8 Six Nations in a row. So I was lucky like that.
The thing is as well, mate, is, I mean, obviously you worked really hard on your condition. If I look at your frame, you know, you've packed muscle on there. I mean, you've really put the hard work in, right? So you were never like a big lumper who had to lose weight. You've become the specimen that you were on the field. But also, mate, I mean, you used to put your head where I wouldn't put my feet. I mean,
do you know what though? You make a good point. Like my twin brothers, I'm saying now, I've kept the same weight as when I'm playing. So I'm like 102, 103 kilo, like, you know, old money. Is that 16.5 stone? Mm. My twin brother, yeah, he's a bit shorter than me, but he's like 13.5 stone. So like it shows how manufactured a lot of the weight is I'm carrying, but I'm sort of used to it and I still train like stinks. So I like to, dropped down. I retired. I didn't have to eat what I normally had to eat. I dropped literally like 10 kilo in about 3 months. So 1.5 stone, and people were going, oh my God, you look skinny. And to any normal person in any walk of life, if you've been said, you've lost weight, that's a compliment. For me, I was that was a massive insult. I was like, I need to get back to being big again, you know? So I hated that. But the injuries thing, like I remember there was a game, Josh van der Fleer, you know, when World Player of the Year recently, like I remember we collided heads. I collided with two people. Mm. And I remember saying to the referee, and I had a 1-year-old at this point, I looked down at the floor and I had blood streaming out and I couldn't see out my eye. So I remember thinking, you think the worst, but I didn't want to panic. You think, shit, I could have lost my eyesight. And it turned out the guy had a forearm guard, cracked me in the face. It was another player. So I got collided by two people.
Yeah.
I said, ref, he's just hit me in the face. You need to have a look at that. And the ref wasn't looking at me. He had his back to me. I said, excuse me, sir, you need to have a look. He's just forearm me in the face. And he turned round and I saw his jaw like hit the floor and he panicked. So then suddenly I thought, shit, this is worse. It looks horrendous. So he said, turned around, he did the cross sign, which means I get the
mess West Ham.
ASAP.
Yeah. West Ham.
Adamant.
So I remember like they took me off and this blood, I was like this, like catching the blood coming from my eye. And they were like rushing me off the pitch. And it turned out it wasn't too bad, but my eyelid was split from north to south. So obviously there was a lot of blood coming. And I had a concussion. I had what was like a, I had nerve damage in the neck and shoulder, which is one of the operations I eventually had. So it's like when you bite ice cream on your back teeth, it's like having that from your neck all the way down to your fingertips for about 5 minutes. You know, it's just, it's horrendous. When you see people cradling their arms, that's kind of what's happening. So I had that. I had concussion. I had my eyelid split from north to south. And I had a fractured eye socket.
How do you stitch an eyelid?
Well, that's it. So I was on the bench and they had this light. And they were stitching my eyelid back up.
Like a clockwork.
But you obviously can't close your eye to not look at it. And I remember at that point. Do you know what? Well, that's exactly what I thought. I was lying there. I was lying there thinking, fuck me, there's got to be easier ways to earn a living than this, you know? And like, I remember going home and then you come back from injury and you're criticised and the press were not playing well. And we were flying to Dublin to play Leinster. And I was just like, chin on my arm like this, on my wrist, just looking out the window when the plane was about to take off. You got that guy on the runway with the paddle boards, like directing the plane. I remember looking out at him thinking, fuck, I'd love his job.
That's the
just best, like, that job. Just not do this anymore. So when you're saying like these things, this is like, you have so many negative thoughts, which people don't kind of see. They just see the 2 hours you're playing for Wales, which is amazing, the best bit. But all the other bits, I'm like, sometimes
I'd love to swap eyelids with him.
I used to think, do you know what? I want to be an estate agent in my local village. I'll drive an old Ford Fiesta. I'll have 25 grand a year and I'll be happy as fuck. I don't care. Like, you know, like, and then you get back on the horse and you carry on again. But sometimes you think, God, is it worth all this? And it is. You know, I like to reassure, it is worth it. But there are times you do have that, oh, I'm not sure.
Well, look at the clip then. So you got Lennox Lewis, who, you know, and he was good with his money, I think, compared to a lot of boxers. Yep. So he ends up being a multimillionaire. He's an undisputed world champion.
Yep.
And you don't have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go for a run. You don't have to get beaten up by Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You can just knock it on the head and not do it.
Exactly. I was looking at how much money you got for this. Imagine how much money it would take for any of us to fight Tyson.
Oh, like, man, even, no chance.
You imagine, that's 17 and a half million. And
how much would it take you to fight?
Genuinely, having seen...
5 mil on a contract now. I'd slide it across the table. Steph, 5 mil, jump in a ring with Tyson. It'd be on Netflix. 20 million people will watch it.
Can it be not on
million?
Can it be not on anything?
Yeah, can it not be on that? Yeah, that'd be my stipulation.
How much for you, no, Mike? I reckon you'd do it.
A 5 million, I'd have a go.
Fuck off, really?
Well, no, I'd get killed.
Well, but we actually would get killed, that's the point.
The thing is, I don't think I would get killed.
Because I'm hard.
Is I keep a very high guard. I hope he hit me early on.
Yes.
Which you would.
Your testicles.
Yes.
And I would drop like a stone and just stay down.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And hope I survive the one punch.
No, I'd fight to win. I'd try and win.
You've trained with some boxers, haven't you, Al?
Yeah.
Have you ever taken a punch off a pro boxer? Just a proper go on, have a
no,
go.
No, not off a proper boxer. Because it's...
I've sparred, but I haven't. No, I've, I have not, not
but
with,
I've watched
not with
them
intent.
Up close. And it's it's when you watch them up close, it's not like on the telly.
So I've done some stuff with Steve Robinson. And Steve was a featherweight. Chance.
Yeah, exactly.
And I had a body.
I was watching like his left hook stone. The other day, and it was crazy.
I had one of those body bags on, and it was like, well, you know, when you do those sort of funny TV features, and you're like, oh, this would be cool, this would be fine. And Steve just swung a left hook into it, and I genuinely nearly shat myself.
Because
he's a featherweight, firing one at me, and I'm quite a big bloke.
By this point, in his late 40s.
Oh, yeah, in his late 40s, nowhere near peak fitness.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just nearly.
And
nearly
crucially, mate, not 16 and a half stone either.
So no way would I get in a ring with Mike Tyson. Fuck that. Fuck it. I'd pay you 5 million to not do it.
Yeah.
That would actually be my answer.
I've got to ask then, have you met Paul McCartney?
I have, yeah.
Of course he has.
Of course he has.
What was it like?
Yeah, it was incredible. I met him. I've been off on my travels with him. I went to Cologne with him. Been to Los Angeles with him for work.
What?
Where else have I been? I got to sit in his office once in Soho when they were building Crossrail. He's got MPL, it's called. You see it?
L's gone.
We've lost Bobbins already.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like when you interview somebody like Stevie Wonder, he sits with a keyboard and sort of doodles away because it makes him comfortable. And he sits and plays an acoustic guitar. So he'll speak to you while he plays the guitar, Ellis.
What did he play you?
Blackbird.
He
said, is there anything you'd like to hear me play? And I said, well, apparently that's a barometer of how good you are on the guitar if you can play Blackbird. So he just started noodling away.
Did he strike me as a shagger?
Bubs, massive shagger.
Did he keep calling you Gordon?
Yeah.
The thing he does. He keeps using
it. He does the same thing to everybody.
But
he says,
good, Mike, you don't think I'm a shagger and that's fine, Mike. But I actually was.
Yeah. Mike. He said once, he said, I really like your jacket. And I thought, oh, great, Maca likes my jacket. And then I heard him say to everybody else that day, love your jacket. Bastard. But we went to Cologne, and I was so nervous because he's my hero, like you, Ellis, he's my hero. And I got incredibly, incredibly drunk after the interview because it went quite well. And then Cologne, they drink Kolsch, right, which is about, what, 12% lager? But in tiny, so I had about 400 of them. And then got arrested for them.
I'd just like to point out Gordon is Scottish.
Yeah. So we were in...
Oh, no.
I nearly lost my job over it because we were in the centre of Cologne in this pub drinking the Kolsch. And there was a fire in a flat.
What a trip, man.
It was incredible.
He wasn't with you by this point.
He had been with us. He'd left at this point.
Oh,
and there was a fire in a flat across the road. So the fire brigade had turned up. The cops were there. And I was leathered. And they parked the fire engine outside the pub. And I thought, wouldn't it be funny?
Always a good start.
Wouldn't it be funny if I went and turned the sirens on again?
Of course it would.
So I got in. And this all seemed like a great idea. And it was quite an easy machine to operate, it turns out. But another fella decided to get in with me, and it weirdly had dual controls. Like, bin lorries apparently have two sets of accelerators, brakes and all that. So suddenly it started moving, and that's when I panicked. And it kind of reversed half round the corner, and as I looked up, I could see the police and the fire brigade running towards it, and I thought, well, that's not great, because there's a fire up there that's more important. And then we got huckled, to give it the proper Scottish word, and I got €150 on-the-spot fine, and they asked for my name and address, and I said, I'm Jimmy Boko from 1 Easter Road, Edinburgh. And I haven't been back to Germany since. Genuinely haven't been back. I'm so scared that I'll appear on some database somewhere. And anyway, Paul McCartney was in a band called, don't say the Beatles.
Beatles, yeah.
Yeah.
Wings.
Quarrymen.
He was in a band called The Fireman. So when we were at the airport, he found it fucking hilarious that I'd been arrested. every time I see him, I was like, all right, son, out the jail.
You should have explained to the cops and the firefighters that you've been on the piss with Paul McCartney to try and get out of it.
Imagine that.
I don't think that would have helped.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like a lie.
Yeah.
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 Sorry, I've had 400 pints because I was nervous.
You fellas know Paul McCartney.
The drunk Scottish guy's in talking about McCartney again. I got arrested.
Oh.
It was an amazing experience, though. And we got to recreate Band on the Run with Paul McCartney in 2010, which is one of the best things I ever got to do. So
the album cover?
Yeah.
Yes.
You seen it? Yeah.
Yes.
So he asked Kasabian to come to the office and interview him, and then they put up the original backdrop from that album sleeve that had Tom Conti, Michael Parkinson, who else was on it? Christopher Lee. And it was the Kasabian boys, him and a few others. And the interview was about who he would cast on the re-release of Band on the Run if it came out today. And I think he chose Jay-Z, Obama, I'm trying to think of a Swansea player, but it's escaping me.
Yeah. Ivor Allchurch.
Yeah. Chris Iwolumo. Nah, it was a pretty special experience, and that's my favourite wee picture.
Yeah. Well, I have got
Stiffy.
Lee Trundle's Lee Trundle's phone number, so it's sort of the same.
It is kind of.
And whereas Macca mentioned your jacket?
A jacket.
Well, I did Deal or No Deal with...
This is the same.
British icon Noel Edmonds.
Yeah. Who constantly looks like a lion who's gone to a fancy dress party dressed as a man.
Yes. But crucially, Alice, a man with nice cowboy boots.
Yeah.
And he asked me where I bought my cowboy boots from.
Okay.
And he didn't ask anyone that?
Well...
He's only always wearing them.
Do you remember in lockdown when we all got a little bit hairy, Mike?
Hairy.
I grew my hair long and a bit of a beard.
Well, you're a good looking man, so that would look really nice, I'd imagine.
Thanks, man. But somebody posted underneath the picture, I had my kids and outside the front door, long hair and a beard, and it said, Noel Edmonds with two competition winners. Saturday Swap Shop 86. I got it chopped off.
I can see
after.
That.
Thanks, yeah. Phil Edmonds, Lego
well,
head.
Noel Edmonds bought a taxi so that he could drive to the Deal or No
Correct.
Deal studio
I got done for it.
In the bus lanes. Yeah. And then he bought a mannequin as well, so it looked like he was taking passengers.
Are you making this up?
Are you sure? Stephen Fry's got one, hasn't he? Stephen Fry's got a taxi, a black taxi.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Should we bought a taxi?
Let's buy a taxi, lad.
Is it?
Have you seen that on the internet?
No.
That really divides your audience, that, doesn't it?
I've just drunk a coffee so strong, it has sucked all of the liquid out of my body.
Good.
I've got to go and get a glass of water or I'm going to faint.
Okay, wow.
Well, I'll sing some Labby Siffy while you go. Something inside so strong, oh no. What's it talking about? I can't
It'd be better if you hadn't have gone for that song. You've just gone for another Labby Siffy.
Are there any other ones? What else did he do?
I don't know. Don't know enough of his work.
Sorry, Labby, if you're listening.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
A, I'll be amazed and B,
well, you never know.
Apologetic. Something inside so strong.
I've just typed in LA on my phone and it's come up with Labby Siffry as the first option. So thanks really? For listening to me, phone.
Yeah. Thank you, phone.
Thank you.
You invasive bastard. What is it? Come on.
His best known compositions include It Must Be Love.
No.
Covered by Madness.
Oh, that one.
Didn't know
you. Nothing more, nothing less, love is.
Something inside so strong. Crying, laughing, loving, lying.
Don't know.
Never heard of it. Sorry again.
Sounds like the 90s to me.
Yeah. Sorry, Labby.
Oh, my God.
That better? Think of a Labby Siffry song that's not something inside so strong, yeah?
I tend to use about 15 grams of beans.
Fair enough.
But I'm an addict. Don't I'm then. Always pushing them, always looking for another gram.
Yeah. Earphones working.
No.
I've gone too far now.
Yeah, they're not working.
That's fine. So how many grams a day would you say you're on at the moment?
Well, it's meant to be 15 grams a cup, but I'm always looking for another gram.
Yeah, why?
Just because I just want to push my body to the limit.
That's good. That's good, man. That's good. See what
so
I can
what?
Do.
My mistake. So I kept a jar. Nescafe, I changed their blend a while back. So I went into the coffee for a second.
What, to silver?
Don't insult me, Mike.
No, they just changed it. They fucked it. I don't know if they changed where the beans came from or how they made them.
It's like talking about colouring in to Leonardo da Vinci. Come on. Nescafe changed their blend.
So I wasn't happy with it. But I bought the big jar. So I thought, well, there'll be a lot of work being done in the house, so I'll keep that in the cupboard for the builders. Nescafe's Nescafe.
Get a big tin, mate. Get a fucking big tin in.
But then I bought the connoisseur's choice, Ken. Right?
You're going to make Gallis ill.
So the other day, check this. But what I'd done is I'd put the Nescafe, because I decanted it into a coffee pot. I put it back into an empty jar of Kenko, put that in the cupboard.
Ooh.
Even though it was Nescafe in a Kenko.
Interesting.
Why?
Psychological.
Well, because there was no other airtight jar available. Fine, but I knew that was the Nescafe. But I sort of woke up the other day, a bit drowsy. I was running low on Kenko. I thought, oh, Kelly's bought another jar of Kenko. Tipped it into the coffee.
Tipped it in.
Suddenly, I've got Kenko and Nescafe Gold mixed up, haven't I?
Good.
It's only fucking lovely.
Is it?
So cheers, everyone.
That's amazing. It's only fucking lovely.
Nescafe Gold and Kenko gets two thumbs up.
There's so many bits to pull out of that.
Mike, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, it's got to be single origin.
Well, this is double
origin. It's Nescafe or Kenko.
It's double origin instant.
Come on,
single origin Nescafe Gold and single origin Kenko.
It's breaking all of my rules.
Wow.
It's lovely.
Okay. But so the phraseology in there,
loads
first of
sugar,
all.
Loads of sugar, bit of milk.
Loads of sugar. So your measurement, right, of I poured in some Nescafe.
Yeah.
That's not specific enough for what you're supposed to be doing. Are you not spooning it?
Well, if there's a spoon run, I'll use a spoon.
Okay, but otherwise you just tip the jar.
I'm not precious about it.
See what the fuck happens, yeah? You're not measuring your grams out like hell.
No, my bollocks.
Okay, and then a bit of sugar. Yeah. Some.
I'm cutting down on the sugar, to be honest. I joked about that. I am cutting down on the sugar.
But in a Bob Mortimer way, or what? How much are you
cutting down? No, it's a little bit of sugar.
Okay.
I can't. It's too bitter without sugar.
What's a little bit of sugar?
Well, again, if there's something to measure it with, it'd be a bit less than a teaspoon.
Okay, good.
I've just texted you a picture of a coffee I was given in a coffee shop the other day.
Okay.
How it was served to me.
Right. Do you know what? They'd be wearing that right before I left.
So it's a carafe of coffee that you've got there.
Marcus trick.
Could I have the house coffee, please?
It's a mini carafe like you'd get in a sort of lab. Like you'd get in a science lab.
It is.
My wow. God. Like those dickheads. I mean...
Yeah, they were mixing up the AstraZeneca vaccine in that thing.
That is...
It's a mini little carafe and the coffee was given to me in a glass.
Was it a science cafe you were in?
No, no, it's just a little coffee shop.
I would take great pleasure in asking those dickheads for an instant coffee. Do you know that? In a fucking mug.
Have you got a Kenko?
Have you got a double origin Kenko Nescafe mix?
What I like to do, take some of the Kenko.
I still like, genuinely, you can still buy it. People take the piss. You can buy it. Mellow Birds.
Mm.
You know where you stand with the Mellow Birds.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think you do know where you stand. I just don't think it's somewhere I want to stand.
Coffee is supposed to be quite a nice drink that wakes you up.
Yes.
I wouldn't pontificate for hours on end about grinding beans and measuring shit out.
Mike, it's a way of life. It is a way of life. Although I'm completely with you when it comes to beer, I've got no interest in craft beer at all. Mm,
no.
And if I walk into a place, say I'm meeting friends and they're already in the place and they've chosen the place.
Yeah.
If when I walk in, I realise it's a craft beer place, my heart sinks.
Okay.
So like I did the Guardian Football Weekly live show at the Troxy last week in East London. And we had friends there. We were like, let's go for a drink after the show. So we went to the nearest pub, which was a craft beer place. They didn't sell a single beer or lager that I'd recognised. It was all local breweries and stuff. And I just thought... Oh.
Nothing worse than local produce, is there? I want some homogenised...
No, I want my coffee beans from Panama and I want my beer from Spain.
The supreme irony is you can have a favourite mass-produced lager, right?
Yes.
You say you like Madry, people stick, oh, Madry, mate, made it fucking brewed in England, mate. I don't give a fuck where it's brewed, I like Madry, right?
I like Madry as well, it's nice.
Oh, yeah, so I just, you know, coffee's coffee to me.
Yeah.
I've had bad coffee, I've had good coffee. I will say, my favourite of the filtered coffees, you want to call it, or whatever you want to, call it, you will be hard-pressed to beat the McDonald's coffee, that's a fact. Well, fuck off, go and taste it then. I think it's the best coffee, McDonald's coffee. You fucking snobs.
No, it's just... It's good. It's such a funny thing to say.
But why wouldn't it be good? One of the biggest companies in the world. Of course it's good.
Their burgers are at best okay.
Exactly. So they're cutting corners.
No, not they're cutting corners.
It's not the best burger, is it? It's not the best chips.
No, that's what I mean. And that's what they're known for.
If you've got a coffee company...
It's not the best lettuce.
If you've got a coffee company, do you think you're trying to give McDonald's the shittest coffee? No, you want their business. You give them the good stuff.
No, you don't.
Because you fucking do.
Then why don't they give them the best meat then?
Well, they're all McDonald's meat.
But at best, it's all right. I would say every time I have a McDonald's burger, I just go, eh. I wouldn't go, that's the best burger I've ever had in my life.
Go and have a cup of McDonald's coffee, right? And then go and have another cup of coffee from fucking,
my science lab.
Go and have a carafe of coffee analysis place.
Yeah.
And I'll have my paper cup in McDonald's. They'll both taste nice.
There is an enormous difference.
Yeah, about £9 probably.
Yeah.
It's fucking coffee, mate.
I don't think anything that McDonald's...
I don't put coffee, mate, in anything.
That was magic, coffee, mate. Fucking hell.
Coffee, mate, was, yeah. You must still be able to buy it.
It's gone the way of shake and vac. You can still find it, but it's hard to find.
Really?
Yeah. Also, even though it was meant to make your coffee taste like it had milk in it, it made your coffee white.
Yes.
But it didn't taste like it had milk in it. It tasted like it had Coffee Mate in it.
Yeah, which is nice.
But I liked Coffee Mate.
And me. And also, it stayed hot because there was no cold milk in it.
Very true. When we go to caravan holidays and stuff, I would eat spoonfuls of Coffee Mate because it's just just spoon it in. Yeah.
Yeah, I was big into Coffee Mate.
Oh, you sick bastard.
No, it's nice.
No, that's not good.
I never ate it.
Oh, I ate it.
I'm not mad, but...
Nice. It's a nice flavour.
Shows, you know.
I defy anyone, right? And I'm not saying this for effect. To go... right.
This will be a first.
No. With a clean palate, then, if you want to be a tosher about it, right? Go gargle some water, spit it out.
Yeah.
Go to your local McDonald's.
Some pickled ginger.
And just have a white coffee.
Go to McDonald's, have a white coffee.
Just taste it.
What? I'm going to the drive-thru just for a white coffee.
Do it. I've done it.
I don't drink white coffee, frickin' goff. For instance, Mike.
I love their coffee.
McDonald's own Pret.
Yes.
Pret is a huge company in its own right. Mm-hmm. And Pret coffee is terrible.
Mm, agreed.
I will not drink Pret coffee.
Do you know why? They give them the good stuff to McDonald's, mate. That's why. They're not fucking mugs, are they?
That was the best of Distant Pod 6, Part 2. If you haven't heard Part 1, go back and do that. If you haven't heard any of our other best ofs, then...
search for the best of 2020 on our timeline and you will find the early stuff, the early year. If you're not even a full year, I don't think. That was December of 2020. Have a look for those. Just search for best of on our timeline and you will find five more of these best ofs available for you.